Listen. Learn. Connect. Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
Now, today we want to deal with what can be one of the very trickiest aspects of retirement for many people, that decision to let go of the family home and with it sometimes a lifetime of acquired and many times treasured possessions. You know, whether you are moving into a retirement village or a specialized care facility or just downscaling to a smaller cottage while still living independently on your own, it can be a really emotional and grueling part of that transition to let go of a home filled with memories. Now, to help us get some practical advice on downscaling for retirement, I'm delighted to welcome back professional organizer and declutterer James Smull of Sorted Cape Town, the business he created and owns. Lovely to have you with us again, James. Welcome.
Thank you very much again for this opportunity to come and visit you guys.
I've never forgotten what you said to us the last time you were here about how to let go of stuff. It was a three-word mantra. Will I use it? Will I touch it? Will I love it? Use, touch, and love are the theme running through today's discussion. James, though, it's a bigger process than just sorting and organizing and letting go of things, particularly for those who are retiring. It can be really emotionally tricky.
Very, very daunting because, you know, people stay in a house for many, many years and they get used to that beautiful memories that they built in that house. And they raise their children in that house. And then all of a sudden they now get to the season where they need to pack up everything and need to go to a smaller place. And for the own good, because, you know, we get to a stage where we need to be looked after. And
Or just be in a more manageable space that doesn't require as much of you physically. As you say, though, it can be a time of, I guess it's the fear of the unknown you're talking about for many people as well.
Yeah, and we all struggle with that one. But I think, you know, especially for older people, is that you don't know what the next step is and how it's going to feel and what people you're going to meet there. And it's almost like a bit of a part that you need to rip away from your stuff to kind of go into that space where you're going to retire now. But, you know, if I think about it, I think about my mom that was so scared of that whole process. And after she moved to the place where she's now retired, she's much happier. And, she, you know, we as children are much happier because we know that she's taken care of. Whereas we sat with that worry of, you know, what if she falls down the stairs and she doesn't have to worry about complaining to us about walking up that stairs anymore.
James, I mean, okay, decluttering as a process, whether you are decluttering to retire or to move to another country or just for a change and you've decided you want to replace everything because you won the lottery and you can. Whatever the reason you're doing it, the process itself can be fraught, not only because of the memories attached to things, but because of that feeling of, but what if I might need this?
Yes.
There was a time in my life when I needed it enough to buy it. What if that time comes back again? And I say this as I have to concede a bit of a hoarder myself, particularly when it comes to things like books that but I might want to read that again, so I'm going to keep it. Yes, this is a time to be a little bit ruthless, isn't it?
No, totally. And the thing is, you know, if you start early with the process of retirement and plan for it, you can say, okay, you know, in a year's time, I'm going to move to my retirement village. What is there that I'm going to might need in this year? And put, like I always say, put a date on, you know, when you've made the decision and looked at the item and put, you know, this little sticker on to say, I've looked at this book and, on the, what is it? What's the day today? The 16th
of November.
Yes, of November. And if you see that you haven't touched that book in 6 months, then you're not going to need it for the next 6 months, I promise you. So
That's clever. So actually physically dating things.
Yes.
Because it's easy to lie to yourself. I mean, I do that with my cupboard all the time. I think there is probably still in my cupboard somewhere a size 8 pair of pants, which I haven't fitted into since I was 20-something.
Yes.
And they're there for the just-in-case day when I might lose the weight one day.
Unfortunately, we have a thing called gravity.
I know. You don't need to remind me of that. So that's quite something. So physically putting a date, a sticker with a date to confront yourself with, I literally have not picked this object up in a year. It's time to let it go.
And also go to a better place, you know, go to somebody that will actually appreciate it. Because it's, you know, the one thing that lies and gathers dust might be gold for somebody else.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. I mean, that is a lovely way of looking at it, saying, okay, you are downscaling. You can't take everything with you.
Yes.
By all means, identify what you will genuinely need and have those few things that are of sentimental value that can go with you.
Yes.
And then start looking at, well, if I can't use this or don't have space for it, who would have need of it?
Yeah.
What do you recommend when you're working with clients on where to take stuff, whether it is the big 10-seater dining room table that's filled with memories of birthday parties and Christmas lunches and all of that.
Yeah.
Something like that obviously is not practical to take into a small house. What do you recommend doing with a big item like that?
The thing is that, again, when you start to plan this process very early, you can, as soon as you know what the size is going to be that you move into, you can take the measurements of that big table and then go and measure the space that you're moving into. And it might work in the space, so you might not want to let it go. But if I think of our dining table, you know, I can close my eyes and I can tell you exactly how the Lazy Susan looked and what was always on the table. And the sherry glasses that I drank off, that memories doesn't go away. And that table has now moved to my sister's house, and we still sit around that table.
That's
So it's always, I would say, start with your friends and your family. If there's a furniture piece, a big furniture piece that's very close to your heart, that can't fit in your space anymore, ask them if they want it. You know, they might say no, and then that's also okay, because they don't have the same taste as you.
That sense of connection to
yes.
But that is such an important thing for many people, and I've been through this with my own parents when they started, and they were quite practical and quite ruthless about it, but there was lots of, here, you should take this, you'll be able to use it.
Yeah.
And all due respect, Mom, but I don't particularly like your 1970s dinner service.
Exactly.
I know you loved it and had great memories, but it wasn't to my personal taste.
Yeah.
And it's quite an interesting one. It's difficult to be the person saying, I actually don't really like it. No, thank you. I appreciate the offer, but I don't want to take that particular item.
Yeah.
It can be a place where feelings can get hurt.
Totally.
What's your advice, both for the person making the offer of would you like this and for the person receiving the offer of something they don't want?
Well, I would say, you know, when the person asking for the item, the person must tell the other person, it's okay if you say no. I just want to find out because I don't need this in my life anymore and I wanted to move to a better place.
Yeah.
And it's fine. If you don't want it, I won't take offense. So that will already help the person to say a definite yes or a definite no.
Okay.
And then, you know, the person receiving, if you really don't want it in your house, you're going to just clutter your house and look at something that you really, really don't love and not going to use. And it's just going to be like it's for you when you get older, it's going to be like a heart sore for you to get rid of this thing because
it's got all these feelings.
Yes,
attached
all
to
the
it,
feelings
yes.
attached to it. And there's no need for those feelings to be in your life.
Yeah.
Life's too short.
I'm a big proponent also for using even the things which have been unused. And what I mean by that, there are many homes and many families who've got the special silver or the special crockery set that was only kept for when visitors came for tea, etc.
Yeah.
And those are often the things that get passed down.
Yes.
I'm a big believer in, by all means, say, yes, I will take the antique tea set, but then use it to drink your afternoon cup of tea from a beautiful cup and don't have it sitting gathering dust in a cupboard.
And that's why I say, you know, if you don't use it and you don't touch it, it's worth nothing. You know, it might be that Royal Albert said, but if it's sitting gathering dust, there's no use, there's no value to it, really.
So I didn't take the dinner service, I did take the teaspoons, the beautiful teaspoons. I use them every single day and I love them. I touch them, I use them, and
I love them.
It ticks all of your boxes.
Yeah.
I'm chatting with professional organizer and declutterer James Smull. He's the creator and owner of Sorted Cape Town. And this is what he does for a living. He helps people sort and make decisions about letting go of stuff they don't need anymore. Particularly today, talking about how to apply that to the process when you are downscaling for retirement. If you'd like to comment, tell us what was difficult for you to let go of, how you found a way around that tricky situation of, do I pass it on to family? Do I split this between different children? Anything like that, I'd welcome either a call to 021-446-0567, an SMS to 31567, or a voice note to 072-567-1567. You mentioned earlier the importance of planning ahead for retirement. And obviously, we've spoken at length over these weeks about every aspect. That's financial planning, putting your name on waiting lists if there's a particular village you want to move into, etc. It also, though, helps to plan for the decluttering. It's not something that's got to be done in one go overnight, James. It's actually worthwhile saying, I know that 5 years from now I'm planning to retire.
Yeah.
Let me start already the process of letting go.
Totally. And start talking to yourself and say, you know, what you really and evaluate everything in your house of what you really touch and what you really use. Because then you give yourself some time, and you know you don't get that point where you all of a sudden get plucked out of your house, and now all of a sudden you're sitting with this turmoil and this big mountain of fear that you need to deal with. So you can ease into the process. So yeah, I totally agree. Start very early and talk to yourself and talk to your people around you. Talk to your loved ones, you know, because they might ask you questions that you never thought about on an item. It's like, but why would you want to use that? You're gonna start to make memories now. You're not gonna gather stuff. So you're gonna go overseas. So why do you want the 10-seater in your house? You know,
Well,
you can rather come to us and have a special time there. So
yeah, that's a lovely way of looking at it. Yeah. Let's talk about preserving the memories, because a lot of this, as we said, is a case of not necessarily items not being practical for a new home, but items having sentimental value attached to them that are hard to let go of.
Yeah.
There are so many ways, though, now with modern technology in particular, of preserving the memory and finding a way of holding on to the sentiment itself while letting go of the item.
Yeah. Taking a photo. You know, I always say to people, if you look at a specific item and in real life and look at the photo of the item, the feeling that comes out is exactly the same. And that's exactly what I explained to you. If I close my eyes, I can feel the rim of that table that I really don't want in my house at the moment. Sorry, Mum. But I hang on to that memory. And you know, if I think of my dad that passed away, all the memories of me and my dad are still there. You know, I can tell you loads of stories. It's not as if he totally disappeared out of my life. So,
So don't attach too much to the stuff.
Yeah. No, definitely not, especially if you don't use it.
Okay, so just to recap on some of the practical advice. Before we do that, there's just a great message in here from Amanda in Milderton saying, there is nothing in my house that is too precious to use. Everything, even all the Carol Boys, is in daily use. I feel the same way, Amanda.
Fantastic.
I don't like having one for show and one for every day.
Yes,
if you love it, use it and make use of it.
Yeah.
We've got a caller on the line, Ryan in Panorama. I'm so glad you're raising this point about antiques in particular. Ryan, good afternoon.
Hi, Ryan. So for me, my question is this. Like, my grandfather passed away many years ago, and then my mom kept all the stuff. And then, you know, my mom passed away and I kept all the stuff. And so now it's like, all this stuff sitting at my dad's house because we don't want to get rid of it. But where do you get things like, you know, evaluated, and like, how do you know if it's like you've been ripped off? Because we've got like a grandfather's clock, we've got this old looking Chinese thing that apparently is worth lots, and you don't know if it is or not.
Yes.
It's if you're lucky, you've got a TV show shooting in your neighborhood of taking it into an evaluator. Yeah. But for everybody else, James, what's the solution?
The unfortunate news is that, you know, with the fuel prices and the food that went up, those valuable stuff are actually not that the value of it is not that big anymore. We're selling a lot of stuff as an extra service to our decluttered client, all the valuable stuff. And we find that people these days buy practical stuff. They will buy a desk or basic kitchenware. They don't really look for the Royal Alberts or the Naritake sets anymore, you know.
You want hardy, durable. Yeah. But, I mean, like the grandfather clock, I would imagine, must still surely, if it's in good condition, have some value. Yes. Where does Ryan go to get
you can go to these auction houses around Cape Town. I'm very sure if you Google auction houses, you can get somebody to value the item for you. That's
probably a good place to start, Ryan.
Yes, that's a definite good place to start.
Great. Thanks for your call, Ryan from Panorama. Jean on the SMS line said, when downscaling, whatever, I looked at and said, have I used this in the last year? And if the answer was no, out it went to a local charity. Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Here, Jean. Especially, I love the angle of taking it to a charity where somebody who really might need that item and not be able to afford it for themselves can find it there and use it.
Yeah.
San, I love your WhatsApp. Thank you for making this point as well. A slightly different angle. Just saying, though, to children who are quick to say no to the items they don't want, do consider keeping something, even if you don't love it now. San's point is, my parents are both dead, and I so wish I had something of theirs to hold dear.
Yeah.
That is a lovely point. So it's got to be balanced.
And you can repurpose it, you know. Yes. You don't necessarily have to, like, for instance, if I think of my dad's old toolbox, that was very sentimental to me, and I took it and I made a beautiful pot plant out of it. It's standing in my garden. I look at it every morning when I sit there and have my coffee, you know.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it's a beautiful memory. So,
upcycle,
cool, definitely. Okay.
Just one last message from Mandy saying, we're moving to Ireland in a few months and don't love any of our furniture enough to pay to take it with us. So we've started getting rid of almost everything. And wow, it is liberating. Mandy says, I never realized how shackled I felt by all the stuff. Yeah. I'm so looking forward to shopping at IKEA and buying only those things that I know after decades of adulting that I will actually use, especially in the kitchen. Mandy, I'm laughing and I'm blushing at the same time because I'm knowing what that drawer in the kitchen looks like, which is full of gadgets that never get used. So good luck to you with the move, and thanks for sharing that perspective. Yeah. James, thanks. It's been great having you back with
Thank
us again.
Thank you very much.
I'd love to leave our listeners with some contact details if they feel it is becoming overwhelming and they need an outside eye to help them, which can be a very practical solution to actually bring in somebody like yourself who has no emotional and sentimental attachment to these items and can help you make those decisions. How do they get hold of you?
They can give me a call, 083-275-3376, or they can go send me an email. You know, email is always, because most of the time I'm busy decluttering somebody else.
Yep.
And I have to give full focus there. So james@sorted.za for South Africa, .net for the money that you want in your account. So james@sorted.za.net.
James Small, thank you so much for being with us
thank
today.
You very much.